Blog Talk Radio.
Hey y'all, it's Chad Bearden, and you're listening to Weekdays with Murph.
I'm trying to remember someone I can't forget. Like a song I don't know that I can't get out of my head. Can't seem to shake the taste of...
And welcome to another edition of Weekdays with Murph. Today on the show, we'll welcome back our good friend, Brittany Bexton. We'll talk with Brittany about her new book, her new single, which you just heard, as well as anything else you can talk about, like how she's keeping sane in the midst of this pandemic. So with that being said, let's go ahead and welcome back our lovely friend, Miss Brittany Buxton, back to the show. Hey, Brittany, how are you?
Hey, I'm great, Cody. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Thank you again for doing this, and I'm sorry for having to cut you off earlier.
Oh, it's
because
okay.
The show was starting. So,
that is okay.
First, right off the top, I had not heard that song ever before, and it is absolutely gorgeous. I think it's what we need to hear right now.
Thank you. Yeah, you know, it's so funny because I had originally planned on releasing that song last fall. It was supposed to come out in like September last year, and it got delayed for a number of reasons, but we'd had to push it back pretty much as far as we could push it back, which was to the end of February, February 28th. And that's because it correlates with my book, and my book was coming out February 4th, and originally the song was supposed to release and then the book to follow. And so we wanted to make sure it came out in quick succession with the book, because people that buy the book get a download of the song. And it came out February 28th, and then 3 days later, I think it was 3 days, yeah, because that was a Friday, Saturday, Sunday, yes, 3 days later, the tornado hits Nashville. And I just kind of sat dumbfounded, initially like, well, my song just came out, and now I can't be that jerk that, like, pushes the promotion of my song. But I also realized that God's timing is so much better than ours, because the song's needed now, you know? And then that was just after the tornado. And then it was about 1 week later that all of this crazy stuff happened with coronavirus. So I just thought, you know, it is. It's kind of perfect for the time right now, because we're all in this strange period in history that we're experiencing, you know? And it's a song about hope and finding hope again after craziness and in the midst of it. So.
And that sort of segues into my next point. Amidst all this crazy self isolation and social distancing and whatever, I have watched so many live streams over the past month. It's just not even funny.
Yes. Yeah. I know, right? You go online and there are about 10 advertised all at once, right?
Exactly. I think at one point the most I saw on my Instagram Live was 8 at one time. I'm thinking, okay, wow. There's no way I'll ever be able to catch all of these live. I'm just gonna probably watch them later.
Yeah, that's so funny. Yeah, I'm actually, I live stream weekly anyway. I think you know that. I do food and falsetto every week on Sunday nights here at the house. So that has not been sort of a foreign concept to me. But being as all of our paid shows and stuff have shifted, I realized that I probably needed to do another format of some sort of a live stream that was really for me to make a little extra and to kind of just have fun with everybody. So I'm doing a live stream this Thursday night at 5.
Okay.
And I'm doing it actually on Zoom, because I thought that would be kind of fun, because then I can see everyone else's faces too and we can all interact with each other. And it's going to be an all-request show. So it's pay what you can. So anyone that comes can just pay what they feel comfortable paying, but they have to PayPal me or Venmo me in order to get the private link. But once they do, they get the private link and they tell me what song they want to hear, and I will try to learn that song before Thursday. I used to do something similar called Song Roulette, where I would just have people like request absolutely anything they wanted, and it was sort of a joke because people would pick songs that were really obscure just for fun to see how badly I would butcher them. but it was really kind of a funny thing, you know, because some of the songs would be amazing, and I hadn't heard them, and I'm like, man, I did not know that song was so great. This is great. And then there'd be others where it was like me singing some old Third Eye Blind song on the piano at my house, and it was hilarious.
Wow. That's crazy. And social media and live streaming stuff these days, I mean, it's almost like artists hadn't missed a beat in terms of live shows and virtual tip jars and everything. It's almost like artists, while they're not actually out there on the road performing live, it's almost like they hadn't missed a beat, you know?
Yeah. Well, I think we've all been put in a position where we've had to sort of reinvent the wheel, in a sense, of how we operate and function. Now, the good news is we've all got a lot of time on our hands to figure that out.
Right.
And a small space that we have to do that in. But at the same time, I don't know about you, but I found it really hard to focus for the first week or so that we were all cooped up inside.
Oh, gosh.
And
I think
it's just because of all the craziness.
How bad it got for me, okay? This is how bad it got for me. But the first couple of weeks, I found myself in my bedroom singing A Whole New World from Aladdin at the top of my lungs, slowly losing my social skills.
That's hilarious. Yeah. I haven't finished it yet, but I wrote a song about people going crazy in quarantine. It's funny.
No.
When it's finished, I will share it.
Awesome. That's how bad it got for me. And to be honest with you, I think I'm still slowly losing my social skills, to be completely honest with you. But
I understand that. The first week or two was definitely hard for me because I live alone, and I felt very, very isolated. And I'm one of those people, like, I work for myself anyway in music and stuff, but I'm also used to being able to get a change of scenery and a change of pace, and that helps me focus, you know? So my usual routine when I really need to get a lot done, computer-wise and behind-the-scenes stuff, I will go to Starbucks in the morning, and I will get a drink, and I will sit there for 2 to 3 hours and just do super focused work because that's the kind of environment I focus really well in. And then I'll run errands or do cleaning in the house and get other stuff done I need to, do whatever shows, those kind of things later in the day. But those changes of environment and pace are part of how I focus, you know, and function. So that first, like, week and a half, I felt more busy and, like, chaotic than I had in a long time, oddly enough, because I was at home. But my brain was just like, give me something else. Give me something else. I can't handle this. We've been in the same place too long, you know. And it was super hard to focus.
Right.
But I feel like I've finally gotten into the swing of things a little, where I've actually been able to accomplish stuff in the last week and not just feel like I was spinning on top of my head.
Right, exactly. You know, I don't know if you saw it or not, but I started a hashtag on social media called a self quarantine update, where I would just post random stuff I did throughout the day. I just post random stuff I did.
That's funny. No, I haven't seen those posts. Social media is so weird these days. It's like you never know who you're going to see pop up on your feed.
Right.
The algorithms are so odd. I can't figure them out, but.
Yeah, they're a mystery to me too, but anyway. And back to the live streams for a second. There's people live streaming that you'd never think would. I mean, you've got people like Luke Combs live streaming, Keith Urban, Brad Paisley,
yep.
a lot of these people previously were probably way too busy for that. So that's kind of a nice thing to see come out of this.
Right. Well, and how funny, too, that you have special shows and stuff that are airing on TV that are literally people's iPhone recordings from their living room, including Big
Did
X.
You see that? Tell me that.
Yeah, it's just been
did
wild.
You watch that
I mean,
night?
Like, oh, no, the award show. I did not see the award show, but I heard about it. Did you get to see it?
The award show, it didn't happen, but I see in one country, and like you said, people like Miranda Lambert, Brad Paisley, Carrie Underwood, Old Dominion, people like that, they actually live streamed from their houses, them singing their major hits, and CBS put it on TV.
Yeah, it's so wild. I mean, I saw not much of it because I don't get cable. I just have, like, the internet services, you know, all the streaming services, like Hulu and Netflix and such. But I saw a little snippet that a friend had sent me from, oh, what was it, the Elton John special? It was a week or two ago now because one of my good friends' songs was on it. But it was just so funny because it was like you see Tim McGraw singing and he's like sitting on the diving board on it at his pool, you know, just sitting there singing on his diving board with the pool in the background. And then you have like his band members on different screens playing. And it's just, it's such a broken down, interesting way to do things. But, you know, in some ways it's kind of leveled the playing field in an odd way because you don't get any of the big production. You know, it's just raw, and what you see is what you get. It's kind of cool. I was supposed to be doing an in-studio appearance on Today in Nashville this coming Friday. It was for the Good Friday episode. I was going to be on the morning show and talking about the book and doing a song. But, of course, all in-studio appearances have been canceled. So they told me that they were accepting videos, though. So I did this little setup in my living room, and I, like, recorded this video in front of my fireplace. The fire wasn't going. I didn't get that fancy, but I sent in the video, and it's kind of funny because it's like, here we all are doing live streams, you know, from our living rooms or our backyards or whatever, and it's all of us are doing the same thing. Tim McGraw's doing it. Carrie Underwood's doing it, you know, like Miranda Lambert. And then all of us indie artists are doing the same thing. And it's funny because, like I said, it's kind of levels the playing field as far as production and everything, you know. We all have the same devices right now.
And I'm a huge fan of that stripped-down acoustic music. Acoustic music. I'm a huge fan of that. So to watch that the other night, I was in absolute heaven for about 2 hours.
I bet. That's awesome. Yeah.
I want to talk a little bit about your book. I think now, forgive me if I'm wrong, but I think the last time we spoke. And the book was just kind of an idea that was sort of floating around in your head, but talk a little bit about this new book of yours.
A little bit about the book. I missed the last piece of what you said.
Just talk a little bit about the book and the inspiration to write it and everything else.
Okay. Yeah, so it's funny. I can't even remember the last time I was on. I mean, you and I are connected on social media, but I don't remember the last time I was on your show. It's very possible that it was around the time that I was inspired to write the book but had not yet started it because, goodness, I started it probably – well, I wrote it pretty quickly when I wrote it, but I hadn't pitched it to publishers or anything yet, and I kind of went through like a little bit of an editing process myself before I started pitching it to publishers. So it was probably at least 3 or 4 years ago now that I actually wrote it. Because last year, once I found the publisher, it took about a year to get it in print, and it's just now coming out. Anyhow, I was inspired to write the book by the same thing that inspired me to write the song that you guys heard at the front end of the show. I had gone through, well, a series of things, really. I mean, there was some stuff from my childhood, some loss and such from when I was a kid that I hadn't really fully processed. And then when I moved out to Tennessee 8 years ago now, crazy to think that it's been that long, I went through a series of really, really nutty things. I had to get a restraining order against someone. I had to move multiple times. Like, I stayed with people that were pretty much strangers on their couches for a little while until I could find a safe place to live. And it was a lot to deal with. And I was brand new to town. I had no family or long-term friends here. And it was a lot to deal with. And I just kind of kept pushing through it and trucking and working really hard on my music and moving forward. And then I like continued to kind of deal with some craziness in the business, with some business betrayal and a personal betrayal that was pretty major. And when that happened, it was like my nervous system had just had enough. It was like, okay, too much trauma, not enough processing. We're going to stop working for you the right way now. And I realized that I'd developed PTSD, because when you go through trauma and you don't process through the grief or the pain or the anger or the upset or whatever, it gets stuck and it causes essentially a brain injury that you then have to heal. So it was about 4 or 5 years ago now, I realized I needed to take a little bit of a step back, not stop doing music, but I needed to not be on the road 24/7. And I needed to kind of take time to heal, to go to counseling, to build more of a community here in town and put roots down in a way that I hadn't been able to when I was touring all the time. And just kind of process what the next steps were for me in music, because I'd been working my butt off, but I was working, 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 and I hadn't really taken time to go, God, what do you want me to focus on next? Like, what's the next right step? Not just the next hard work step. What's the next right step that's going to get me where I really want to go? So I took a step back during that time and really took time to heal. And the song was inspired by my healing process from the PTSD, because when you've gone through like so much stuff, you kind of are in this situation where it's like you're just waiting for the next shoe to drop, even when things are good. You know, it's hard to believe that they're going to last because you've just gone through so much craziness, you know? And I was really in a place where I was regaining my faith and, like the song says, learning to believe again, which is the title of the book too. And just, you know, learning to have faith, not just in the moment and in God, but that things could still go well and that good things would last. So that's really what the song came out of. And the book came out of the same process. I won't say that it was based on that hook or that idea, because I really actually decided on the title after I'd written the book. And I realized that it needed to be the same title as the song, or connected to the same title at least, because the song's Believe Again and the book is Learning to Believe Again. But I had kind of gone through that process, and while I was healing and going through some of those, I would have these epiphanies or these aha moments, or I would feel like God just kind of transplanted knowledge or kind of a prophetic word in me. And I started doing these monthly newsletters during that time that I would send out to my fans that had come out to shows to kind of keep in touch with them. And each newsletter that I'd send out, I would send out a thought for the month that was whatever had kind of been downloaded mentally at that point in time, or whatever epiphany I'd had that week, or whatever was on my heart. And as I was sharing those, people were responding in crazy ways. Like, I was getting emails from people on my mailing list after almost every email I sent out, and they were telling me how much of a difference this thought for the month had made in their lives and how it helped them make some big decisions, and just kind of crazy testimonials. And I went, really? This random epiphany that I had made that much of a difference for somebody? And I realized, you know, maybe there's something to that and I should be sending this out or getting this out to more than just my email list, you know. Maybe I needed to write a book. And I thought, you know, the thought of writing a book seems so overwhelming because you think you have to write a whole story and figure out where to start and where to finish. And I thought, yeah, but if I did it this way, I could write it as a devotional where it's individual thoughts that go together to form kind of a whole process of healing. And I thought, that doesn't seem overwhelming, you know. I can do these thoughts. I can put together these epiphanies. I can put together devotions, you know. And I did. I just started working on it. I had recorded my single when I started writing the book. But I had not started writing the book yet, and the rest of my EP got delayed recording-wise. So I was kind of in this holding pattern for a while, and that was the time that was the year I spent writing the book. I thought, you know, well, if I'm in this holding pattern right now with the song, I guess it's time to write the book because I've just gained all this time all of a sudden. So that is where the book came from and how it came to be.
Wow. That's some pretty powerful stuff.
Yeah, I just hoped, honestly, that, you know, my experiences and my story and the things that I've gone through and kind of learned through it are able to help a lot of other people that have also been in dark places or gone through rough times and need that hope also, you know?
You know, I don't share this very often, but about 4 years ago, I went through my own traumatic experience. But about 4 years ago, I was in intensive care. About 4 years ago, and it was the single most scariest thing I've ever been through in my entire life.
I bet.
So I mean, in a way, I can relate to that in a way. So.
Yeah, you know, it's amazing because a lot more people have experienced post-traumatic stress challenges than would expect. I think people assume that the only people that deal with PTSD are people that have been in war or really extreme physical situations. But the reality is that actually PTSD is really common, and it happens frequently from emotional challenges and interpersonal relationships. Like, it is an extremely common side effect of domestic abuse, for example. But the majority of the population doesn't realize that and doesn't understand that even just going through loss, like death of a loved one, can cause post-traumatic stress. So I think a lot of people honestly go untreated and don't realize that, you know, what they're experiencing is something a lot of people experience and don't realize that there's even a deeper way to kind of heal from that, you know? It's not just normal grief or depression always, so.
Exactly. And I've got to tell you this. I have so much respect for you and sharing that story. I have so much respect for you for that.
Thank you.
Because I know it's not easy. It's not easy sharing something like that. I know it's not easy. And I don't know if I told you this before or not, but I created this podcast as a way for the guests to basically bare their soul, you know? And it's a safe place, you know, in an industry that might not always be the case. This is a safe place for y'all.
Yeah. And you've always done an amazing job of that. You've always been super supportive of indie artists and female artists, and you're just awesome. And not just with the show.
Well, I appreciate
you always
that.
Post all of these encouraging posts and things and tag us all in them to make sure we know that you're thinking of us, so that's awesome that you do that. I'm appreciative.
I'm going to go cry now.
This is going to turn into the weeping show, right? Happy tears.
Exactly. To kind of lighten the mood just a little bit, I wanted to talk a little bit about, and I know you mentioned this earlier, but your weekly food and a falsetto show that you do.
Yes.
How did that come about initially?
You know, it actually came about because I was taking a step back from touring. And I felt really guilty about taking a step back from touring because I literally toured full-time for 4 years. I mean, that was my full-time job. It was the only way I made money. And I was on the road pretty much every weekend. And I'd been playing all over the country. You know, I'd played in 18 states in 4 years. And I couldn't really – it's not that I couldn't really imagine not doing it. It was more that I was afraid that if I stopped doing that, then I would lose momentum and my fans wouldn't care anymore and they would lose connection with me. So I initially started doing food and falsetto, honestly, as a way to just stay connected with my friends and fans that had been following my music, because I needed a way to still be connected with them and stay relevant and have them even care if I put out music again in the future. And to me, I don't know, cooking is just kind of, that's this other part of me. I've always loved cooking. I've always loved food. When I was in college, I got distracted because my puppy is being naughty in the background here.
Hello, boy.
When I was in college, I started cooking for myself, and I just love food so much that I kind of just taught myself how to cook food that was really delicious because I wanted to eat it and I didn't have a big budget, so I couldn't just go out all the time. And because I love food and love experimenting with flavors, I was just honestly able to cook a lot of pretty awesome stuff, and I really developed a love and a passion for cooking at that point, and kind of that homemaking aspect. I have this weird combination of personality where it's like part of me is like total creative and gypsy, you know, like I would love to just travel all the time, but then there's this other part of me that really likes having a home base to come back to, and I like cooking,
right,
and I like family, and, you know, so it's kind of this weird sort of contradictory dichotomy, but hey, it makes me balanced, right? So I
right.
thought it would be kind of fun to bring the food aspect in just because it was different. And I felt like it would be more personable too. You know, it's like it would give me a chance to not just sing for people, but to chit chat with people, to bring them into my home, to do something that was a little different and fun and interesting. And I am such a perfectionist that I'd had the idea for a while and was like, how am I even going to make this look right? And I finally one day was like, you know, it's not going to be perfect. You just need to go live and do it. So I did, and I just started doing it, and it was anything but perfect, and it's still anything but perfect. I mean, I don't know how many episodes you've seen, but I have accidentally lit grease fires in my kitchen live on Facebook.
Wow.
Because I don't do a whole lot of frying, and I was doing beer battered fish that night, and I got the oil a little too hot and it caught fire. So I'm like talking to everyone about how you have to heat the oil up, and suddenly this fireball comes up on the screen. So there's nothing perfect about this show. I have also, let's see, what was one of the other funny outtakes? My piano bench decided to break in the middle of me playing one night. So I was playing Strawberry Wine at the piano, and my piano bench broke, and I fell to the ground in the middle of the song. And then, like, hopped up to my feet and kept playing.
I'm
going
to have to sign that
episode
now. So, I'm going to sign that now.
It's truly, like, anything but perfect. But that's kind of the fun of it, you know? It gets to be casual. I get to interact with everybody. We get to just have that kind of kitchen conversation. And the thing that kind of inspired me is it's not just about the food and the music, right? It's that, to me, right. I don't know about you, but growing up and everything, don't you notice that people gather around food? Like, that's what brings people together. People talk around kitchen tables. You know, they sit down
especially
and they visit and they snack. Yeah. So I just felt like it was kind of a perfect setting to bring people in to visit and chat with me. So we do the cooking show and I, you know, talk through everything that I'm doing, and then I get to go and sing and do that aspect. So it's been really fun. And I guess, gosh, I've been doing it for more than 2 years now. The last time I tried to count, I've had like 75 episodes or something. It's more than that now, but I would have to go back and count again, and I'm just not even sure.
That's crazy. That's crazy.
But yeah, it took me a while to kind of get in the flow, but now I do it every Sunday at 6:30 p.m., and if I don't do it at that time, then I notify everyone ahead. So.
I noticed that you said, I said that you're kind of a perfectionist. Well, in my life outside of the show, I'm not at all a perfectionist. But when it comes to this podcast, this is my baby, and I am such a perfectionist. It's just not even funny, you know.
Yes, I totally do.
Because I feel like and I'm a perfectionist in the sense that when I open my mouth to talk to somebody about their livelihood, I want to be informed on what I'm talking about because that's why I value research so much. For every guest I bring on, I will watch, read, or listen to pretty much anything they've ever done.
Yeah.
So.
That's awesome. Well, that's part of what makes you awesome.
That's just how my brain works, and I kind of want to be the guy that is not just spouting opinions. I want to be the guy that knows what he's talking about, you know?
Yeah. Well, I can actually talk to the artists and folks that you have on the show about what they do and not just an opinion of music, you know, who they are a little bit. You definitely dig deeper. Right. Yeah.
And that's another thing I pride myself on. I pride myself on, sure, I'll talk to you guys about your music, about your book or whatever, you know. But but I love those interviews where the interviewer gets to know the artist as a person, and not just for what they do for a living.
Totally.
And that's what I try to. And that's what I tried to bring across to my listeners.
Yeah. Yep. Well, it's true. I mean, you know, it's funny because I've done a lot of interviews in the last, like, 2 months. The single was coming out and the book was coming out and I started a publicity campaign, so I've interviewed with a lot of different media outlets. But, you know, there is a big difference when you are interviewing with someone who's really taken the time to get to know a little bit about you, your music, in my case, my book, and ask deeper questions and the ones that just kind of ask the surface level, because I find that I end up answering a lot of the same questions, like the same exact questions over and over again. And at some point you're like, okay, how can I say this differently but still have the same meaning so it's the truth, you know?
Exactly.
But I think it's great when you get to go deeper, you know, and you get to ask the deeper questions or discuss the things about the music that make it different than everything else that's out there, you know? So it's always refreshing to have the interviews where that's what you get to talk about.
And I noticed you said earlier too about an EP that's currently on hold. This brings up another quirk about me. As if I hadn't shared enough on this interview. But anyway, I'm one of those weird birds, and there's not a lot of them out there left anymore, who actually enjoy sitting down and listening to a full album top to bottom.
Yeah.
There's no greater joy in the world to me than that.
No, I understand. I'm the same way. Now, I will at the end pick my favorite songs, but I want to hear the journey that the album takes.
Right.
I want to hear each piece of it first and kind of the journey that it goes on. And then, you know, I might have a favorites in two over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
But
right.
A lot of the time, my favorite songs on an album are not the singles. Like, I really like Pink a lot. She's one of my favorite artists, actually. But, you know, my favorite songs of hers are often not the singles that she's released. It's like the obscure ballads on her albums that I find, and I'm like, oh, it's so beautiful, and I just listen to it over and over again. And I'm like, leave it to me to find the most obscure ballad on the entire album, and that's my favorite song on it, you know? But that's just how it happens sometimes.
I'm the exact same way. I think we were separated at birth, to be completely honest with you.
We are long-lost twins from maybe different times.
I am the exact same way. Like I'll pick the most obscure song on an album, and I'll be like, holy crap, that just spoke to me, you know?
Yeah, totally. Totally. I really loved all the singer-songwriters back in the day. Have you ever heard of Sean Fulton?
Yeah.
Okay. So she was one of my favorites.
Yes, absolutely.
Sunny Came Home
uh-huh.
was one of her really big songs, and I did love that one.
I love that song.
But one of my favorite songs that she did was You and the Mona Lisa, or Me and the Mona Lisa. I can't remember. It's Mona Lisa might be the name. But
yeah.
I loved that song, and God knows nobody else has ever heard of that song. Unless they really, really love Sean Colvin, you know?
Right, exactly. Probably the last question I've got for you, because Blog Talk Radio is about to probably kick us off the air at any moment. But anyway, one last question I've got for you. After touring for like you said, nonstop for about 4 years, and now this book is out, and everything else that you've got going, what is your definition of success at this point in your career?
That's a hard one. Honestly, I just want to reach people. That's my idea of success. It's not about fame. It's not about numbers. I just want to reach people that need the message. And, I mean, that's how I've always felt about my music, really, is that, you know, I think music is more than just music. Music changes people's lives. It can help them face things that they haven't been able to face or cry because it puts something into words that they couldn't put into words themselves or laugh when they needed to laugh, you know? Like, music's really powerful that way. And one of the things that I wanted to figure out when I took a step back was, how can I reach people differently? Because I'd been touring and playing in bars a lot, and I'm not knocking playing in bars, but when you're playing to a room full of drunk people that may or may not remember the next day, you don't really feel like you're touching many people or making a difference, you know? And I would play shows at festivals and such where people would just have amazing feedback afterwards. And someone actually told me once that when I was singing on stage and looked at them, suddenly they remembered that music takes away pain and gives you hope to do things that you hadn't done in a long time. And them telling me that was like, oh, man, it just, it still hits me when I think about it, you know? And I wanted to be able to reach people in that way and have a more direct impact. And I didn't feel like I was doing what I was doing or focusing on my career the way I was. So, I mean, that was part of me taking a step back was, how do I reach people? How do I reach people in a more impactful way, you know? And at this point, I wouldn't have written Believe Again or Learning to Believe Again had I not taken that step back and taken time to heal and figure things out, right? But at this point, I know that that was a message that God gave me for people, for the world, to make a difference. And now it's really, for me, just about reaching the people that need that. And success to me is making a difference in people's lives. I mean, it's success to me anytime my book or song touches somebody and it makes a difference for them. But I hope that I reach a lot more people. So I can't put a number on that. It's not a qualifying thing, number-wise, not qualitative. It's sorry, it's not quantitative. It's a qualitative thing because I think it's about the quality that goes out and how it reaches people more than it is a numbers game. But I do hope to be able to continue that on, you know, through the rest career and build a sustainable enough career for myself that I can do that and not worry about money, but also still help people and help them heal and touch them and make a difference, you know?
And the reason I ask that is I've been doing this podcast for, it'll be 8 years in August I've been doing this thing, which is beyond crazy for me to even think about it being 8 years. But I've been thinking a lot about my own legacy in radio and in the industry that I cover, country music, and what I want people to take away from when I finally do decide to hang this up, which is not going to be for a long time, I'm telling you. But and I've come to the conclusion that I just want to be known as just a good dude, you know?
Yeah. Yep. You know, that quote, I can't remember who it's from, but people don't always remember what you did. They won't necessarily remember what you looked like or what you did or how you acted, but they will always remember how you made them feel. I butchered that quote, except for the last part. But you know what I'm talking about.
I think it was Maya Angelou that said that.
Yeah, and I agree. I think that's true. I think we have a much bigger impact on the world when we treat it that way, and we know that when we walk into a room, we want to leave it better than when we arrived, you know?
Absolutely. And I've done over 520 episodes of this podcast, which is another number that I'm just wow at. And
yeah,
I'm not a big numbers guy at all. I'm not a big numbers guy, but every one of those 500 plus podcasts, I've taken something away from it and I've learned something.
Yeah.
I definitely learned a lot today. I learned so much today.
Well, that's awesome. I'm glad that I could be a part of that.
And I've got to tell you, Brittany, this is probably one of the most in-depth, a real interviews that I've done in a long time.
Aw, thank you. That makes my day, truly. My week, probably, actually.
But this has been just so much fun, and I've been on the verge of tears a couple of times. I'm not even going to lie to you.
Aww. Happy tears. That happens to me.
Yes.
I definitely have gotten happy tears quite a few times. Like, I can't even tell you how much it means to me when people send me testimonials about my book or song or, like, how it's made a difference for them. I totally cry every time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a sap.
Absolutely.
I can't help it.
Same. But, yeah, I thank you again for doing this. This actually ran a little longer than I intended, but it was so much fun to catch up with you again. So much fun.
Oh, it's so good to talk to you again, too, and I look forward to seeing you more on socials, but thank you so much for having me on the show again. It's been great.
Absolutely. And as soon as this quarantine is lifted, the first place I'm going to go is Nashville.
Okay, so we'll have to get together for real in person.
I miss that city so much. I first visited Nashville probably a little over 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it's had my heart ever since.
Yeah. It's definitely a special place. So much creative energy here, you know?
Absolutely. Well, I think we're going to let you go and let you get back to your evening, but thank you again for doing this. This has been so much fun.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much. I hope you have a wonderful rest of your night.
I'll talk to you later, Brittany, okay?
Sounds good. Have a good one.
Bye. Well, hope you guys enjoyed our interview with the lovely Miss Brittany Bexton. That was probably one of my favorite interviews I've done in, like I said, a very, very long time. But anyway, next Tuesday at 4:30 Central, I think we have, now, if I'm not mistaken, I think we have Taylor Hughes joining us. So I think with that, I think I'm going to end the episode right here. You've been listening to Weekdays with Murph. Thank you and goodbye.